Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We have for you this evening a real nice piece of literature that came my way. Some of our brothers sent out crews all over the country and all over the world to distribute literature. And while they were distributing literature in one of the rest homes in Chicago, they go from room to room and witness the people that will allow them to witness to them, and then they also leave some of the literature that God has given me so that they can read it. And now we have CDs and tapes, CDs and tapes of that which you're hearing now, the radio tapes that are being played on radio all over the world now. But they were going from room to room, and when they went by this one room, they heard this voice of a woman, an old lady, same voice, and they said, "Yes, ma'am." They said, "Are you witnessing about the Lord Jesus Christ?" And they said, "Yes, we are." And she says, "Well, I made a promise to the Lord a long time ago that I would witness to everybody that comes in my path. Would you please let me tell you my testimony of what the Lord did with me?" And they said, "Why, yes, ma'am." And they went in, and she told them this incredible testimony that, and then after she told it to them, I said, "Did you tape that?" And they said, "No, sir." And I said, "Well, will you please go over there again tomorrow and ask her if she will dictate or say her testimony again on tape and ask her if I could have permission to put this piece of literature out, her testimony out." And so they went back the next day, and she agreed, yes, she would like to tell it again, because that's what the supernatural experience that she had with the Lord. She promised God that she would tell everybody about this. And so I just praise and thank the Lord that I'm God has put me in a position to where I could get permission from her to put her literature down. And I called the piece of literature, "That's What It's All About, Bessie." Now, this woman was a church-going person, and she was just considered to be a saint in her community and in the church. But she had an experience where she had an out-of-body experience, and the Lord showed her hell. And she said, well, she thought that she had done everything right, but she had never witnessed and testified to anybody. And so the Lord told her, "That's what it's all about, Bessie." And you're going to love this piece of literature. And we're going to get to it just in a little bit. Her name is Bessie Haskell. H-A-S-K-E-L-L. Bessie Haskell. I don't even know if she's still alive, but at the writing of this literature, she was. And I had the brothers go back, and sisters as well, from time to time to visit her and bring her things that she had need of. But and then we have some letters. But right now, let's go up to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint outwardly this message tonight. Lord, I pray, as always, that this service be yours, not mine, not Bessie Haskell's, but the testimony that you gave me is a testimony for me to tell the world. And Bessie Haskell as well. We also have this other piece of literature that you let me hear while I was in France, and this is one that is called "Too Late, Too Late, Too Late." And if we run short this evening, we'll begin reading that one. That's also extremely good testimony. These testimonies are, and my testimony, are the strongest I've heard with the exception of those in the Bible. There are many other people since my testimony and too late, too late, too late, and this Betty Haskell, that's what it's all about, Bessie, that I've heard. And it just shows that the Lord is coming back to earth again real soon. A lot of people, God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, and His servants and handmaidens are prophesying, and they're seeing visions, and old men are dreaming dreams, young men are seeing visions. But Father, we ask that You anoint these testimonies tonight, and that You will give me whatever it is that You want me to say on this broadcast, if there's commentary at all, so that the church will be strengthened and that millions of souls will be saved. Lord, I ask it, and all of us ask it. I ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Oh, now, where's the first letter from?
From the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Okay.
Very dear Pastor Tony Lamo, I greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Timothy, a distributor of your gospel literature, came to our church and gave out your literature, such as The Signs of the Times, Dry Bones, and Another Pearl Harbor. Quite a few people have been blessed by your teachings, and others have come forward with tears in their eyes in repentance to confess their sins after being touched by these messages. We have even received a free Bible from you by the hands of Apostle Timothy. Thank you for the love in Christ and for the lost souls who you have brought to life. Our church wants to also be involved in distributing your gospel literature here in Lubumbashi for the salvation of souls. Send us 5 cartons of French gospel literature, 10 French Messiah books, some Bibles to give out at our church to those who do not have the means to buy them. I would like you to note that we have 5 parishes that I direct. God bless you, your ministry, and your church, Reverend Gideon from Democratic Republic of Congo.
Right. Praise the Lord. You know, every time I hear of a good testimony that from people, I just love to print it and put it out. And you know, there's some, if there are authentic supernatural experiences of the Lord, I will definitely print them and put them out all over the world. There was a young man in prison. I went to prison on false charges for the gospel, an IRS charge, and I was winning a lot of Muslims, and one of them that was able to write, and his name was Reggie Jackson, and he wrote a couple of pieces of literature, and I printed those as well. So, you know, we love to print supernatural experiences that have happened to people, and we'll definitely thank God that He's put us on the air now again. Been on the air many years before, then we had our own television program for 10 years. Yeah, that my wife, late wife Susie, passed away in April 8th, 1982. And so the Lord just opened these doors again for me to be on the air again. And now television has opened up, and we're going to be on 7 major worldwide stations very soon. And we pray that you tune in. All right, what's the next letter? Where is that from?
From Anaheim, California. Yesterday when I arrived home, I found a box on my doorstep full of Christmas gifts from your ministry. Gifts for myself and my 10-year-old son. I suspect my family member, who is incarcerated in Pelican Bay State Prison, provided you with my name. At any rate, words fall short to express my surprise and gratitude for your amazing acts of kindness. I can't express what my heart is feeling. I don't know how to thank you but to say you are an example of God's love. My son was surprised, and the gifts are waiting for him for Christmas Day. I shared with him how God's love can do many things that man can't. He knows Steve is incarcerated and unable to send us gifts, yet we got them. On behalf of my family, many blessings to you all. Signed, Linda from Anaheim, California.
Praise the Lord. Yes, when I was in prison for the gospel's sake, I found out so many people. You know, there's people in prison for things that they didn't do, and there's a whole lot more in there for things that they did do wrong. But their family didn't do anything, and I really, the Lord touched my heart for them, and I told them in prison, they said, I just feel so bad that I can't get my my kids some presents this Christmas, and my wife, and my grandmother, or whoever. And I'd say, well, just tell me their address, and I'll call when I'm talking to my wife on the phone. What I'll do is I'll give the name and address to them, and if you get the sizes of their clothes and their ages, we can determine what kind of, and if they're a boy or a girl, or if it's grandpa or grandma, and what sizes they are too, or auntie or uncle or whoever your loved ones are, and we'll prepare a box for them and send it out. And they just felt so good because they're in there and they haven't got an opportunity at all to make money or to send them anything. And they're so poor, some of these people. And they're suffering because the person that could support them is incarcerated. And in some cases, some of them were put in there on false charges. And there's a lot of records of people that have actually even been put to death in prison on false charges. So, you know, it's just so sad. But finally, this became one of our ministries. Is if you're in prison, if you're listening to this radio broadcast, and you've got kids that you know you want them to have presents and to get up on Christmas morning and see some presents under the tree, just contact us by mail, or if you can get to a computer, to our website, or our what do you call it? The
website.
Yeah, our website, or fax to us, and let us know all the sizes and the, if it's a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, and their ages, and the sizes of their shoes or coats or things like this, and we'll get it to them. If we don't have it in our stock, we'll go down to the store and buy it for them. Okay, because we are commanded by the Lord to do unto others as we would like people to do unto us. I was so happy that we had a real strong bunch of Christians in this church that were just so happy to just make them feel so warm and good to give, to box something up and real nice and to send, you know, some candy and oranges and apples and clothing and shoes and a whole bunch of toys for the kids and whatever they need. Then we also send Bibles and the gospel literature and tapes. And so if that's your case, get that to us right away. Even, you know, we started doing birthdays, if you let us know, okay? So don't be bashful, you know. It's better that your wife and children and your loved ones out there have something, because it's for sure the devil hates them, but the Lord loves them, and he wants us to do this for you and for them. All right, now where's the next letter from?
From Liberia, Africa.
Okay, go ahead.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, seasoned Christian greetings. I was praying at 3 a.m. in the night, and the Lord opened my eyes to a vision. I saw myself on Board Street, our most public street in the city. I saw a group of people dancing, but to my surprise, I saw them with Tony Alamo newsletters in their hands. But all of a sudden, a breeze blew high, and the newsletters spread all over the city, and I could see your picture all over the city. I heard a voice from God saying, It's time for God to make the newsletters known to save more souls. Therefore, I pray that you send more newsletters and support the church with everything. By this you can make me fulfill the vision of God. My spirit burned in me since I've had this vision. Use me more to work for Christ. Thanks, Pastor George from Liberia, Africa.
Well, praise the Lord, Pastor George. Mailroom, just load this pastor up with the literature. And we have contacted the Free Tract Society, and they have agreed to take some of my literature. They told us to mail it to them, and they'll spread it all over the world themselves, too. So So this is just another avenue of our being able to get the literature out. Postage is very expensive these days, and anyway, we can, maybe they'll have some printing presses overseas, and they can just feel free to print this literature and distribute it. Okay, and now that's it. And now, here's the testimony of Bessie Haskell. This piece of literature is available to you. You can have it to distribute if you like. And we pray that you become distributors. And if you do, you get T-shirts and sweatshirts. And this piece of literature is entitled, That's What It's All About, Bessie. Okay, go ahead.
I was born at Rensselaer, Indiana, on a farm along with 9 other children. I was the 3rd from the bottom. I weighed only 2 3/4 pounds when I came into this earth, and I was always very small and sickly. When I finally got big enough to go to church, I joined the Sunday school class my aunt taught. One day, my aunt said to me, quote, Bessie, you have never been baptized, and you can never become a member of this church until you come up to the altar and tell the people that you want to join the church and be baptized, unquote. And then she said, quote, you do want to join the church, don't you, unquote. I told her, quote, yes, I do, unquote. A few weeks later, we went down to the creek.
You know, joining a church doesn't mean anything. It's just ridiculous. You must be born again. It doesn't, baptism doesn't mean anything until you've been born again of the Spirit, until you start doing what the Lord says. He wants to see you obedient. That's why John the Baptist said to the Pharisees and Sadducees, I'm not going to baptize you people. Do first the works of the Lord. Repent and do what the Lord tells you to do, and then I'll baptize you. But until I see you born again of the Spirit, and until I see you doing the works of the Lord, I'm not baptizing you bunch of vipers. He says, well, you bunch of vipers, who has warned you from the wrath of God, the wrath to come? Amen?
Amen.
All right, go ahead.
A few weeks later, we went down to the creek. I was dipped down and brought up out of the water. That made me very happy because now I was part of the church.
Not part of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
When I was 17, I went to Chicago to live with my aunt. While in Chicago, I seldom went to church. I had a job taking care of a baby for a family. The mother of the baby was very ill. The family I worked for were Catholics, and they believed everyone should go to church on Sunday. It had been so long since I had been to a church, I thought I had better join this church. Well, to join that church, I had to be baptized again, so I was. After that, I met my husband, and over a period of several years, we had 2 children. I had a house and children, and everything was beautiful, except with the children so young, I couldn't go to church again. Then we moved to a different neighborhood. My older sister died, so I took in her 4-year-old daughter to raise. During this time, my father brought me 3 more children. He told me they were starving to death. Their father was a drunkard and had abandoned them, so I took them in also. I now had 6 children to feed, and many times I wouldn't have enough food for myself and would go to bed hungry. I found myself getting sicker and sicker. I finally went to the doctor and found out I had yellow jaundice. Word had come that my uncle had his leg amputated, and they said he wasn't going to live long, but he wanted to talk to every one of my mother's children and lead them to Christ. So after all my brothers and sisters had gone to see him, it was finally my turn. He begged me to accept Christ as my personal Savior. I told him I would, but not tonight. He took my hand and said, quote, Bessie, I am going to die, but I want to see you saved before I die, unquote. I left that night without accepting Christ. When I got home, I was very restless because this yellow jaundice was getting worse. I was very sick, but I never thought of taking Christ as my Savior. I just got sicker and sicker. When the doctor came, he said, quote, Bessie, you must go to the hospital, unquote. I told him that I couldn't until after Uncle George's funeral. I was so sick at the funeral, I thought I would fall over dead. When I went by the casket, it looked to me like he pointed his finger at me and said, quote, Bessie, you're lost, unquote. I said, quote, I know, Uncle George, but you're dead now and I don't know what to do, unquote. On my way home from the funeral, I went into convulsions, so I went straight to the hospital in critical condition. They worked on me and got me ready for surgery. I was going in and out of consciousness, and I heard the doctors say that I would never live through the night, and there I was. It kept going through my mind, quote, "and I'm not saved. I've been baptized twice, but I'm not saved," unquote. When I awoke, I said to my doctor, quote, "I heard you say out of your own mouth that I was going to die. I want to go home," unquote. So they got me an ambulance and took me home and put me in the dining room where they could get a good hospital bed and a place to work. I would go into these light comas. When you go into a coma, you can hear part of the time if you're not too far under, but finally you go in and you don't come back at all. And that's what I went into the darkness of night. I don't know how they know that you're still alive. You just hang between life and death. I think it was about the sixth day that I was taken out of my body. My spirit and my body separated, and I saw Bessie Haskell lying on the bed. The spirit took me by the right arm and took me through the corner of the room. Just as quick as we were outside of the house, we sank into the pit of the earth, and we went right into a monstrous cave. Now, when I say a monstrous cave, I mean a monstrous one. It had thousands upon thousands of people there. You don't walk a step. There are no steps, but it's gravity, and the gravity carried me down. The faster we went down, the more I began howling. Quote, "Oh God, I never wanted to come to this place. Since I can remember, I always said, I want to go to heaven when I die. And how did I get here? Why am I in this awful place?" Unquote. He only took me about halfway, then he let me stop and look, and in front of me, on my left side, was a lake of fire, a lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, and it was a big one. It wasn't a little lake. It looked like Lake Michigan, and the people were going over. They'd just gone over, and you'd hear those awful screams. And then I kept looking for where they were going to put me, and I told the Lord, "Lord, from the time I was a child, I used to always say that I want to go to heaven when I die. Father God, if anybody ever worked themselves to death, it's been me. I've got those four children and two of my own, and hardly enough food to feed them, and I go without food over and over so that I could say I did my best to raise these children. I took them, Father, to church when I was able, and Father, I couldn't have done more than what I have done. I joined two different churches, and I got baptized two different times. Here I am in this place that I never wanted to come to, and how on earth can I get out?" Then the Lord let me look up and see the heavens, and oh, what a beauty, exclamation point. But I said, quote, "How do I get there?" Unquote. He said, quote, "There is a great gulf fixed, and no one will ever pass except those who have been born again by the Spirit of God and washed in His blood," unquote. I said, quote, "But it's too late, it's too late. Oh God, please don't leave me in this awful place. Show me, Lord, what I can do. See, Father, you know I tried, and now here I am," unquote. He showed me one big cross, and Jesus was carrying it up Golgotha's hill. Down it went into the ground, and they nailed him to it. They also had the other two, and they were barely alive, but it was him I saw. When they got his hands nailed and his side pierced and the blood coming, he looked up, and he looked right in my eyes, and he said, quote, "Bessie, this is what it's all about. This is what I died for," unquote. He looked at me with such pity, and I cried, quote, "Oh God, nobody ever told me. Father, nobody ever told me. I went from the time as a little child, Father, and nobody seemed to care. Did they know it?" Unquote. And he said, quote, "Oh yes, but many miss it," unquote. I said, quote, "I have a husband, and I've got two little children at home. Father God, who will raise these children? Who will take care of those precious little souls?" Unquote. Quote, "Father, let me go back. Let me go back, dear Father. I'll be a witness for you as long as I live. I raise my right hand. You see this hand? It's my oath and my promise to witness to every soul. I'll serve you, Father. I'll worship you, Lord. I'll raise these children in the fear of the Lord. My poor husband don't know it. Very few people know it. But Uncle George knew it. But we don't any of us know it. My father down on the farm don't know it. My mother, dear God, don't know it. But oh God, I know it now. exclamation point, unquote. I tell you, my heart was full. My joy had begun. I knew the way to heaven, and I was going to tell it to doctors and grocers and insurance men and different ones that come to my door, every soul that I can. Quote, Father, I'll testify of your love and your grace, unquote. He just said to me, quote, I'll take you back by your promise, Bessie. I'll take you back, unquote. And he took me again, just like he did the first time, with that right arm. And he touched me in back of my elbows, and he brought me back the same way he brought me down. I saw myself come through my own dining room, and I seen about 8 or 10 people. My sister Ida was sitting at the head of the bed, and there laid that cold body. It was as cold as ice, but my spirit just crawled back in. I remember I started at my feet, and I just came all the way up. They said, quote, you're so cold, you're so cold, you're so cold, unquote. I said, quote, yes, but I won't be for long, because I've got a heart that is warm. I've been with Jesus, unquote. They said, quote, where have you been, unquote. I said, quote, in the pits of hell, but I'll never go back. I found the Christ. I found God. I found Uncle George's God, and I'm going to serve him, unquote. And that's exactly what I did. For the next 6 nights, I couldn't sleep. I kept thinking of the vision and what I saw, and I kept thinking, I'll go to the people. They don't know. I'd look at another, and they don't know. I'd look at another, and they don't know. They don't know. How am I going to get this to the people so they will know that God has a place prepared for his own? I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. You know, I went back and told my family, and they didn't want to hear it. When I tell a lot of people today, they don't want to hear it. They don't understand because it's not preached. You must be born again. And friend, I'm going to tell you there is no other way under heaven that you can get to heaven unless you confess you are a sinner and you accept him as your sacrifice for sin. And you can do that right now. You have no promise that you will live 5 minutes from now. So please say this prayer so that you can be born again right now.
And that prayer is, if you're driving a car, pull over if you can. Or whatever you're doing, just turn off the iron or whatever. Just start calling out to the Lord and mean it with all of your heart and soul, because what her and millions of others have seen was a vision of hell. And I've seen and heard the voices down there pleading, oh God, no. Oh, it's really true. Oh, get us out of here. But we know we can't get out. It's over with. But Bessie was able to get out. So just say to the Lord, before something like this happens to you and you won't be able to, you've heard the truth now. You've heard what it's all about. It's all about Jesus dying on the cross and shedding his precious blood so that all your former sins could be taken away, and so that you could call on him so that his Spirit with the Father could enter into you by the Spirit, and that your soul would be saved, and that you'd have the power of God in you to not have be able to, you would not find it hard at all to abstain from sin, and no sin can enter the kingdom of heaven. And so if you're a sinner, and we know that everyone is, say this prayer to God, because it was your sins and mine that caused him to have to go to the cross and pay the penalty for you, so that the law no longer would condemn you unless you fell back into sin. And then there's no more sacrifice, no more forgiveness for you. So you have to really make it pay. The Bible says those that continue on to the end shall be saved. So say the prayer with all your heart and soul to the Lord. This is the only prayer or a similar prayer to this that the Lord God will listen to you if you're unsaved. There's a wall of partition between you and God, and this prayer he will hear and he will answer. Now just say it. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul because your word says so. Your word is true, and your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know that you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. Your word says that all that call upon your name shall be saved. So now just, I know I'm saved, and I raise my hands to you now, Lord, thanking you and praising you for revealing this testimony to me, and most of all for saving my soul. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, you can get a copy of this literature, and you can get copies of literature from me that will tell you how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that you can be used in the gospel field, that you can be used by God to witness and testify to others as Betsy Haskell has done. And you can see, you should see how many souls that she has saved. And now that she's given this literature to me, I promised her that I would print it up. And now I just really thank and praise the Lord that I'm able to let you hear her testimony on radio. And now we have another piece of literature. This literature is called Too Late, Too Late, Too Late. I heard it in France, and I wanted you to hear it, and I want everybody to hear it, because it's so such a wonderful testimony, and it's a truthful one. I know it's true because I had similar experiences with the Lord. So let's start out with this.
John Delvis travels throughout France with his own death certificate in his shirt pocket, showing it to people and telling this incredible testimony. When I was 20 years old, I was in a hospital because I was an alcoholic. I was just 20 years old and having delirium tremens. It was just awful. Just ask anyone who has ever had this. They will tell you how terrible it really is. I started taking morphine and kept on drinking to get relief. The doctors thought that I was going to die because my blood vessels were breaking and I was losing blood. They tried everything they could to make me stop drinking. They put different products into my drinks to try and rehabilitate me. They also put me into solitary confinement, and I was really going crazy. I would escape at night and come back in the morning drunk, and nobody knew it. One day they found out and they kicked me out. They told me to cure myself, so I had to leave. When I got home, I tried every way to stop drinking. I don't want to bring accusations against any churches, but I was burning candles to a lot of different saints and praying to them, but I never got any help from them at all. I discovered my heart was empty. In fact, the power of Satan was so strong that nothing was able to deliver me. I had lost all hope and decided to commit suicide. I went downtown with a determination to take my life. When I got downtown, I ran into a group of people, some with gospel tracts. Suddenly, I felt a hand on my shoulder, and I heard someone ask me if I would like to hear the gospel. I said, quote, "What's that?" unquote. He said, quote, "We are going to talk to you about God and Jesus Christ," unquote. And I said, quote, "No!" exclamation point, unquote. I won't even repeat the words that I used. While this man was talking, I saw the address on the tract without even realizing it. Before I knew it, I found myself in the last seat in the room and heard the gospel. I was too drunk and didn't understand anything, although the idea of committing suicide left me. I went home and said to my mother, quote, "Do you know where I went yesterday?" unquote. She said, quote, "Probably to some very bad place," unquote. I said, quote, "No, I went to hear the gospel. There was a priest preaching without his robes on," unquote. I also told her the way I felt at that time. She said to me, quote, "Don't go there. It's spiritualism," unquote. The next Sunday the same thing happened again, and the same hand came upon my shoulder again, and the voice said, quote, "Do you want to hear the gospel?" Unquote. I told him to leave me alone. Again I found myself in the assembly listening to the pastor. I was really hungry for the words. It was as if he was talking just to me. It was like somebody had told him all the things I had ever done. I was thinking that these people must be spirits of some sort because they knew me. So I left, but again the thought of suicide had left me. The next Sunday, the same scenario happened over again. The message was about the prodigal son. It really touched me. When I realized what the pastor was saying, I understood how lost I really was. I was no more than an atheist and had the same sins. The pastor was speaking straight to my heart when he said, quote, "You think suicide is going to set you free? But no, after death comes the judgment. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and your Master, and if you don't repent of your sins, you're lost and will be lost for eternity, lost forever." Unquote. When the pastor asked if there was someone there that night who wanted to ask Jesus Christ into his heart as his personal Savior, and that person should raise his hand, and only God knows why, but I found myself raising both hands. I said, quote, "Lord, I know I'm lost. I know for sure it's finished for me. Madness and death are waiting for me. I want to accept you as my personal Savior. I want you to be my God on one condition. I don't want to drink anymore." Unquote. I was 20 years old and I didn't want to die, and Satan was doing everything he could to destroy me. I cried out, quote, "Lord, deliver me. I don't want to drink anymore." Unquote. In that instant, I felt upon me a cool, refreshing breeze, not upon my clothes, but on my body. I felt changed inside, transformed. With my hands still raised, I said, quote, "Oh, thank you, Jesus, for now I know I'm saved." Unquote. I knew I was saved. I ran out of the assembly hall and left because my heart was so full of joy. Later on, the pastor told me that he thought I would never come back. Something marvelous was inside of me. A brand new life. I received a new life that God gives to us in Jesus Christ. I understood that I was really saved. I went down all of the old streets and past the bars that I used to go to, and when I came to the end of the street, I said, quote, "You got me before, but you will never get me again!" Exclamation point, unquote. Never will I drink again, and my brothers and sisters can witness that to this day. I don't even drink a drop of wine. The Lord had healed me completely. If I were to drink even one drop of wine tonight, my wife would for sure smell it, for the wine would rot inside of me. When God does something, He does it good and in its time. I was converted. I was turned around. My old life was finished, and a new life had started. I gave all my heart to the Lord. I've seen some of the most beautiful experiences happen with my God. I've seen children with just 1 hour to live and prayed for them, and the Lord healed them. In 1945, during the war, I had pain in my legs and in my back. Sometimes during certain atmospheric conditions, I would fall down on my knees for pain. One day, there was a very strong storm, so strong that I felt as though I had actually touched electricity. I fell down on my knees and never stood up anymore. I was finished. I would never stand again. I was paralyzed. They tried with x-rays to find out what was wrong with me, but no one could figure it out. I said, quote, "Lord, I know you are there, but what's going on? Why am I sick?" 3.5 years went by. One day a doctor came to see me because I had caught a cold. He said, quote, "I know why you are paralyzed. I'll come and get you tomorrow," unquote. He put me in touch with a doctor at the Royal Hospital in Belgium who told me I had cancer of the spine. The sciatic nerve was cancerous. It was hidden behind the backbone, so you could not see it. The doctors operated and did find cancer on the sciatic nerve. One of the nerves in the cervical column had almost been completely severed by the cancer. After surgery, I was in a coma for 5 days. They didn't know if I would come out alive. They cut out 7 centimeters, approximately 3 inches, and grafted it back together. The general surgeon came in and told me, quote, "I've done everything I could to save you, but you will be confined to a wheelchair for the rest of your life," unquote. Some Italian doctors saw me and examined me. They told me that when they did the surgery, they cut some nerves. Now I was even more paralyzed than in the beginning. I was very weak and couldn't talk. My voice had become very weak and feeble. I couldn't move my arms, and my legs were completely dead. I was confined to a bed and couldn't get out. There was a nurse next to me continually. They couldn't leave me alone. I was only able to eat liquid foods through a pipe in my mouth. I had raised 5 children, and now I couldn't even do anything by myself. Even though I was in such bad shape, I told the Lord, quote, "I love you with all my heart and soul. I don't understand it, although I know there is a reason, but I know someday I will," unquote. When you put your faith in God, Satan is always there to discourage you because he hates it when someone believes God. Satan doesn't want anyone to stand firmly and surely on the Word of God, in which is included all the promises for each and every one of us. Each day I would talk to my God, quote, "Lord, you said, my grace is sufficient for thee. One day I know I'll understand," unquote. I prayed in my heart because, you see, I could no longer speak. I said, quote, "Lord, why am I here? I beg of you, talk to me, help me," unquote. And then, in my ear, in an audible voice, it was not in my head, but it was audible, I heard the voice of the Lord, as I had heard many times before. When the Lord speaks to his children, his voice goes into the innermost recesses of the heart. It's so sweet and marvelous. It's like a wind of peace that comes inside of me. He simply said, quote, "Faith without works is dead," unquote. I said inside my heart, quote, "Lord, I don't understand," unquote. And again, in a louder audible voice, quote, "Faith without works is dead," unquote. I was sort of irritated because in my country, to do works would be to give a few coins to the poor, and I said, quote, "Lord, I'm paralyzed. How could I possibly do any works? I can't even move. How could I possibly give to the poor?" unquote. And again, the third time, the voice of the Lord came to my ears, quote, "Listen, faith without action is dead," unquote. Do you understand, Christians? You that are hearing this gospel for the first time, you that maybe know the gospel but haven't understood the grace and power of the Lord, faith without action is dead. At that moment, I understood, and I started to tremble and to shake. I put my hand on the shoulder of the nurse, quote, "I want to get up," unquote. She said, quote, "What are you going to do?" unquote. I told her, quote, "Josie, give me my pajamas," unquote. She couldn't understand what was happening. She knew there was no hope of me ever getting up. But when she felt my hand on her shoulder, holding on with strength, she rang for another nurse who ran into the room. She said, quote, "Go get the general surgeon and tell him the man in room 70 wants to stand up," unquote. My voice raised up again and I said, quote, "Josie, give me my pajamas. I want to get up," unquote. She said, quote, "Just wait, the surgeon is coming," unquote. I said, quote, "No, exclamation point, give me my pajamas or I'll get off the bed," unquote. And of course I was naked. There was action now. There was life springing up inside of me. I had to act. I had to show this faith that was in my heart. So she finally gave me the pajamas, and I turned around and let my legs just fall off the bed. If you've ever been just 10 days in bed and put your legs on the floor, you know what it feels like. It was 3.5 years for me. My legs were trembling, but I commanded them in the name of Jesus to walk. My hands recovered strength. I pushed my right leg in front of me. If you could have seen the nurse, she was shaking worse than I was. I said, quote, "In the name of Jesus, I am going to walk," unquote. So I walked forward and got to the middle of the hallway just as the Surgeon General was arriving. He yelled, quote, "This is a miracle!" exclamation point. "Number 70 is walking!" exclamation point, unquote. And it was noised abroad throughout the hospital and even to the factory where I used to work, so that the whole factory knew I was walking. And why? Because when you cry out to God from the bottom of your heart, when you really have a need, He is not a God far away and deaf unto our cries. Quote, "If one calls unto me, I will not turn him away," unquote, said the Lord. And when someone needs him, he will come immediately. But our faith must be a living faith. Our faith cannot be a dead faith. We cannot say, quote, "Lord, please help me," unquote, and not move. If I hadn't stood up, I'd still be lying there paralyzed today. But the Lord did His work. I was walking. I was happy. I was glad. My children called me. They were in an orphanage. And when they saw me, they said, quote, "Dad, we can go home now," unquote. We went back home, and the next day I was playing soccer in the street with them, because when God does something, he does it with certainty and does it well. Lamenting and sorrowing doesn't help. The just shall live by faith. If you need Jesus, if you're without God and without hope, come to Jesus tonight. Give yourself to him. Have faith in his promises, and you will see that God is a marvelous God. I was called immediately into the ministry. That's what God wanted for me. I went and preached the gospel everywhere without asking anything from anybody. I was receiving some welfare because of my disability. I've never been without food. I've been preaching the gospel since 1948 and have had some extraordinary experiences. I have seen miracles manifested. I have seen life. I have seen extraordinary signs. I've been walking along with them. I was walking with them without any kind of formal instruction. I didn't even speak French well. I was a stammerer and stutterer, but as soon as I started talking about the Lord, my tongue was loosed. For a long time I preached the gospel. I gave my all to the Lord. But in 1959 I was tired, really tired. Sometimes on a Sunday I would have 5 different meetings in different places. I was in a tent in the month of November, and there was 2 feet of snow on the ground. After I finished the meeting that night, I headed home on my motorbike in the snow, and I fell down in the storm. I was wasted. I went to bed that night without even taking my clothes off. I didn't even know where I was. When my mother saw the state I was in the next morning, she called the doctor. The doctor said I was really sick. I didn't have any more antibodies in my system. I was completely drained. I had no more strength in me. He gave me a shot of penicillin. He should have never given me penicillin. It was forbidden since my surgery. Unfortunately, it worked contrary to the way it should have. The virus left my throat and went to my legs. In just a little while, my legs started to swell up and water was oozing out of my legs, and it was stinking. They wanted to take me to the hospital, but I told them no, I would be all right. And then, in the beginning of December 1959, my toes and toenails started turning black. I had gangrene. This horrible sickness got worse and worse. On December 22, 1959, the doctor said there was only one way to save me. That was to amputate my legs. I heard them talking in the other room. I told them no, it was too late. I told them not to touch my legs, just leave me alone. That night I was in peace, although I knew I was going to die. It was a marvelous peace. I had joy in my heart. In the afternoon of the 23rd of December, I knew it was really over. My mother was at my side, and I told her, quote, "Don't cry, Mama. The Lord will not forsake you. Don't worry about me. I know where I'm going," unquote. I felt nothing moving inside of me, and suddenly I knew my heart was stopping. In peace and in joy, I was looking at my mother with a big smile, and it was over. I was gone. But at that very instant, I found myself standing next to my body in the bed. I saw my body lying there, and in that instant, I was gone. It was very strange passing from one state into another without feeling anything. Then I heard music, and in front of me I saw a gate of gold shining as though it had diamonds upon it. The gate opened, and from inside I heard the most wonderful songs and hymns, and I heard a voice telling me, quote, "Enter in, my well-beloved. Enter into the house of thy Father," unquote. Now I know why I was in peace when my eyes were closing on this earth. There he was waiting for me. The one who said, quote, "Where I am, there will you be also," unquote. And I heard this wonderful voice and knew that voice when I came in. The further I went in, the more marvelous it was. I didn't see monumental palaces, but I saw a beautiful clarity. All I saw was a beautiful clarity. And I saw in front of me a throne, a white one. And there was a light on the throne. I couldn't tell what it was, just a light. There were people at the Assembly of God Church who tossed me out of their church because they said that I said I saw God. I saw a light on the throne, but I cannot say God was like this or that. If I said that, I would be a liar. From behind the throne came light like fireworks, every color of the rainbow. I heard wonderful songs. The songs were even more wonderful than before. I didn't see how it was, but Jesus said, quote, "I am the light," unquote. Try and look at a bright light and tell me what a light looks like. But because I was in heaven with him, in heavenly glory, I knew who it was. He came toward me and said, quote, "Come," unquote, and took me by the hand. People asked me, what was his hand warm? Was it soft? Was it strong? But what is spirit is not flesh. All I know was my hand was in his hand, and he said to me, quote, come, unquote. The more I walked along the pathway, the more marvelous the songs became as I was listening to them. They were just beautiful. I want to tell you that Jesus is light. It's biblical. There I had the same light as him. I was clothed in the light of Christ, and I'm not lying either. The Bible says we shall be like him in all his beauty and in all his glory. God loves us so much that he wants us to be dressed in the same glory as him. That's why I still wonder why people resist his calling, and why I resisted it myself for 3 weeks. The Lord took me next to a huge field. You could not see the end of it. This field was full of lilies of the valley, all planted in rows. The flowers were white, and they had the same light as Christ. Inside, they were red. Some Jewish people told me the flower I saw was a rose of Sharon. It was a gorgeous white with little water drops on them on the top with red inside. I was standing there with him, and I looked out over the field, and I saw there was one flower missing. It was not in the first or second row. It was somewhere out in the midst of the field. I said to him, Lord, is that my place? Unquote. He said, quote, yes, but not now. Unquote. He said, quote, come, unquote, and took my hand and led me to another field even bigger than the other. It had just a few flowers in the corner of the field, but all the rows were made just like a garden ready to plant. I said, quote, Lord, why are there no flowers in this field? Unquote. He said, quote, there still are many other sheep that are not in the sheepfold yet, and I have to bring them in. So now you must go back inside your body and tell everyone that will listen to you that all things are ready, everything is prepared. If they will listen to my word, they will come here to this place, unquote. I said, quote, Lord, Lord, I feel so good next to you. Leave me here, unquote. The second time the Lord said to me, quote, go back into your body and tell everyone that will listen to you that I want to save them and heal them, unquote. Then I said, quote, Lord, you know how many times I talked about you. They don't want to know about your salvation and about your healing. They don't want it, unquote. So the Lord put out his hand, and there was a book in it. I'm talking to everyone no matter what denomination you are. This is the truth. He said, quote, this book is my word, and the word is me. That's why you must go back into your body and announce all these words of grace. Return to your body, because you can't even take one word away or you will be taken a part of me. Go tell people that I want to heal them. If you take one part of my word away, you take away part of my power. You cannot do this. That's why I say to you, go back in your body, unquote. I said, quote, no, Lord, leave me here. You know, Lord, how my life was, one of suffering on the earth. You know all the difficulties and worries I had on this earth. I feel so good. Let me stay here, unquote. He didn't say yes, and he didn't say no. He said only, quote, come, unquote. What I'm going to tell you now is really from the bottom of my heart, and I hope that there is no one who reads this that makes fun of this or mocks it, or that there should be one who rejects his word. It should make you think and bring you to repentance, that you not be thrown into hell, because you can come with us into this field that is ready to receive you. He took me a little further, and I came close to a giant abyss. You know what an abyss is? Like between mountains. And it was really dark. I looked, and suddenly I heard from this darkness and from these clouds voices of people crying, Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive. Lord, we didn't know. Lord, we ask your forgiveness. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Unquote. Then from behind me, that voice that I knew, that soft voice, raised up above me and went out over the abyss like a thunder. Unquote. Too late. Too late. Too late. Unquote. And he said, quote, come closer. Unquote. And I heard the same cries, the same screams, screams of suffering, and the voice from behind me saying, quote, too late, too late, too late. Dear friends, I beg of you, life does not belong to you. You don't know the day you are going to leave this earth. I beg you in the name of Jesus, I beg you not to reject the words the Lord is saying to you. Because God loved the world so much, and he loves you so much, that he was nailed to the cross at Calvary so you didn't have to go to hell. I beg you in the name of Jesus, don't reject the word of God. Don't stay just a religious man. In the name of Jesus, become a real Christian, a son or daughter of God. Accept him as your personal Savior. If not, the pits of hell await you. He said to me, quote, come closer now, unquote. I saw nobody. I heard only the screams. I was looking into the abyss, and I couldn't see anything, but they could see me. and the voices came out of hell of young men and women saying, quote, go and tell my family that they should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so they don't have to come into this place of torment. Go tell my family, go tell my brother, tell my sister, tell my husband, tell my wife, so they will believe in God and so they don't wind up in this place of torments. Lord, forgive, Lord, forgive. Too late, too late. There is nothing he can do. Lost for eternity. It is absolutely impossible to come out of the pits of hell. There are no 36 places we're going to after death. There are only two, heaven or hell. There is a place for the believer and for the unbeliever, the exaltation of heaven and the torments of hell. Then the Lord said, quote, what are you going to do? Will you go back, unquote? I said, quote, yes, Lord. I can't be quiet now. I can't be quiet any longer, unquote. I wish now I was 30 years younger. I know I will be going one of these days, but I want to keep warning people. I want to warn men. I want to warn women. I want to warn you today. I beg you in the name of Jesus, do not reject the word of God. And then I returned to my body. The doctor was at a table in my room, and he knew they were going to take my body. So when they called him, he did not come right away. When he came into my home, he was just sitting there looking at my body, preparing the death certificate. He was just looking at me, saying, I don't understand. I can't understand that could be him lying there dead. I saw so many miracles in this house. I saw cancer healed from bodies. I saw meningitis healed. I saw people who were inoperative, that doctors said to just take them home. They're going to die. He cried out to God, and God healed them. I saw blind people see. The doctor saw all of these things. He knew I had been healed of the paralysis. He knew all of these things, and he said, I just can't understand how he could be dead now. So he took out the death certificate, and as he was getting ready to sign it, he looked at me again, and I started breathing. He dropped his pen and jumped up on top of me and started massaging my heart. I said, don't worry, everything is all right, it's not necessary. Is it because my name is John Delvis that God gave me more grace than anyone else? This could happen to any one of you. The Lord needed me, and he did with me what he thought was necessary. You see, dear friend, maybe you're saying in your heart, I told you some story. I didn't tell you just some kind of story. If I had to spend my time telling you stories like this, I would just leave town. I go everywhere telling my testimony, and if someone asks me why my testimony, I tell them, and I preach the gospel and my testimony. What I preach are one and the same. They go together. God said, I don't want to see any one of you in hell. You're just satisfied with your little religion. And even if you say you believe in Jesus Christ, you still keep going on with your everyday life. Well, we'll get ready at the right time, but it will be too late. It's now that you have to do it. Now is the time of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow you might not be in this world. God is calling you now, and I'm calling you in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't go to sleep tonight without being sure you are a participant in heaven's life. Repent and convert. Don't resist the calling of God, because God has said, I will speak once, I will speak twice, I will speak three times, and I will not talk anymore. Maybe the Lord has been talking to you for a long time and you don't want to answer. I beg of you tonight, don't let this chance pass you by. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Come to Him with all your heart and soul. What I have told you is true, and you will taste the truth either in heaven or hell. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. I assure you, when you are in hell, the words too late will pierce your ears, and you will say, why didn't I believe the testimony? I beg you in the name of Jesus, don't reject the Lord. Say this prayer now.
Okay, say this prayer. If you're driving a car and pull over, say it with all your heart, soul. We only have about a half minute left. Say this prayer with all your heart to God. This may be the last, you never know, could be the last chance you have. Say with all your heart, and don't be wanting to have God prove it to you by putting you there and you never being able to come out of there. I saw many of these visions myself. Say to God, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know you have answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. raise your hands up and praise the Lord, and our time is up, so until tomorrow, we have other beautiful literature for you to listen to. Until tomorrow, God bless you. This is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.